Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369 or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.
As a Ford owner, there are lots of choices of where to get your vehicle serviced. You could choose to go to their place, the local dealership, your place, home, apartment, or condo, your workplace, even your happy place, like your cottage on the lake. Go to your Ford dealer or choose Ford Pickup and Delivery to have your vehicle picked up, serviced, and brought right back. Or choose mobile service, where a technician will come to you and do routine maintenance right on the spot. Both are complimentary and depend on your location. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit FordService.com for important details and limitations.
Today marks the end of an early odds era. I'll explain. Broadcasting from the Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. Let's forget all the suspense. Today is going to be my last early odds, but the show will go on. Later this hour, I'll introduce the new host of Early Odds, my weekday show, BetQL Daily, which airs live on the BetQL Network, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m., was taken to another level this week. My old podcast partner, before sports betting really blew up, is my new partner on the show, Sam Panionovich. The positive reaction that we've gotten this week was frankly overwhelming, and we're just getting started. We're just figuring things out, getting comfortable with each other back on the air again. I know it's going to get better and better. And with the NFL season about to kick off, it's going to be can't miss stuff. I'm telling you. If you'd like to check out the show, it airs live 8 to 11 a.m. weekdays on 105.9 FM HD2. Preset that, 105.9 FM HD2. It's also on the Odyssey app. You just follow the BetQL network there. You can watch on twitch.tv/BetQL and the BetQL Daily Podcast, always on demand. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. We saw it this week. Sam gets great intel, shares it on the air, and you end up moving markets. So that's why you want to check out the show live. I'm also going to be doing BetMGM Game Day on Sunday mornings once again on the BetQL Network. And two of the 3 hours airs live here on The Score Sunday mornings. And that's with Jason LaConfora and Kate Constable starting at 7 a.m. leading into Bears pregame. I tried doing seven shows a week last year, and I wasn't able to give 100% to everything. And of course, with the family, coaching baseball this fall, it became too much. And I always want to give 100% to everything. So we're going to continue Monday through Friday and Sunday with those shows. And we're going to announce the new host of Early Odds here in about 40 minutes. But enough of that. To the important stuff. Like, how are we going to make money today on college football? To give you an example of the level of guests that we have on BetQL Daily, how about the Bear Chris Felica? As good as it gets when it comes to betting college football. You remember him from Game Day. He's now with Fox. We started with where the Fox crew is today. Penn State, West Virginia, and Morgantown. Here's Felica on BetQL Daily. Take a listen.
A little bit of bad blood there after the way James Franklin punched one in late there to get the cover and really pour it on West Virginia in a game that was a little closer early. So that's a big talking point. And I see actually the way the bettors have been betting this game, see it down to 8. And Sammy, I think you said there was a 7.5 out there early. It's back up to 8. But it seems like there's one-way action here on the Mountaineers.
Which makes it more enticing to take the favorite. I mean, this number in the summer was 10, 9.5 at a couple shops. And you mentioned the game against West Virginia. Yesterday, I brought up the game against Northwestern when Franklin had the backup quarterback out there to take the fake knee and throw the touchdown pass to cover 27. He knows what the number is, Bear, maybe more than any coach in the country. And I think Franklin gets docked a lot for losing big games, losing to Michigan, losing to Ohio State. But he's one of the best cover coaches in the last 15 years because he covers games like this, doesn't he?
And I believe it was Ralph Michaels, who I was talking to a couple weeks back on a podcast. He had a number, but I think over the last 3 years, James Franklin, in games where he's favored by like more than a touchdown, it's like 18-2 against the number. It's like something ridiculous like that. He clearly has an eye on the prize here, and these are the types of games where they're a better team. I just worry, but West Virginia is one of those teams I really don't know which way it's going to go for them last year. I didn't think they were going to be very good last year, and Neil Brown shocked everyone. Like, they were talking about firing Neil Brown last year, and they wound up winning 9 games. But the 3 teams that they played that finished ranked, Oklahoma State, and Penn State, they lost those games by like an average of 20 points a game, didn't win any of them. So it's like they kind of beat the teams that they should have beaten that were kind of on their par, but those ranked teams that were clearly more talented, they struggled with. So even though the game is on the road, I do expect some Penn State support to be in that building. I like Penn State minus the 8. I was ready to lay 8.5, and then I saw it ticked down to 8. I'm like, perfect, even better than have to give away a hook. So I like Penn State minus 8 here, and if I get beat by the home dog, so be it.
There you go. Chris, this week we've been talking about this Notre Dame-Texas A&M matchup and how due to some of the offensive line issues with the Irish, the injuries, that we've seen some movement in the direction of Texas A&M all summer to pick up. Now we're at a 3-point spread here. I know you were interested in the total. Is it something that you're close to pulling the trigger on?
Yeah, I think I still am. Even at 46.5, I wonder about Notre Dame's offensive line. I don't think they feel great about it. I mean, it's still Notre Dame, and they have some talent there, but clearly when you're replacing three starters going on the road at a hostile environment in Kyle Field, that's problematic. But, and then you have to factor in that you got Mike Elko, the head coach of Texas A&M, in his first game, who knows Riley Leonard, who knows his tendencies, who knows his strengths and weaknesses. And trust me, he will formulate a defense that is ready to slow down Riley and the Notre Dame offense, which I don't think is that great to begin with. I think they're kind of lacking at the wide receiver, at the game-breaker type position. I don't think they really have a proven one. And then on the flip side, you have A&M, who, even though you lose Walter Nolan, you bring in Nick Skirton, a defensive end who played at Purdue, who people love. I think that defense is still going to be really, really good. And offensively, while I do like Connor Wegman, I think that's the biggest question I have about A&M is what happens to replace Anaya Smith and Evan Stewart, because last year that was like the only way they were moving the ball. So unless they get the other guys to step up, I still think even though this number's come down a little bit, if you get 46.5, under 46.5, maybe that would be worth the look here, because I think this is a game. I mean, look how it's lined. It opened at 1, and now it's 3, so it's lined to be a one-possession game. So you would expect a closer game, maybe closer to the vest, and certainly two defensive-minded head coaches certainly will be very comfortable playing a game that way.
Sunday night's really interesting because you have a pair of teams replacing their awesome quarterbacks, the top two picks in the draft, and LSU and USC making their big move over to the Big Ten. LSU minus -4, -4.5. Bear, are they going to stop anyone this year?
I sure as hell hope at least they stop someone on Sunday night, because I played USC LSU under 64.5, and I know a bit of passion on both sides here for whether you like the over, whether you like the under. But I just think these two teams, these two programs have just heard all offseason how their defense sucked last year so badly. And yeah, obviously LSU brings in Blaine Baker as I think the highest paid coordinator in the country. You have USC who brings in Danton Lane, who did wonders with the UCLA defense the last couple of years. So I think the defenses can't help but be better just because of the schematics. And these are still teams that recruit at pretty high levels, so the players there should be good. And now maybe with two Heisman Trophy winners being replaced on the offensive side of the ball, maybe the offenses aren't as great as they've been in years past. Certainly Miller-Moss looked good against a shell of a Louisville team last year in that ball game. And Nussmeier had a good ball game last year as well and has certainly been around. But 64.5, it feels pretty high, and I would expect these defenses to play a little bit better. I know there were some people that I respect that played the other side, so hopefully I'm right and they're wrong. But it's funny because I heard Steve Fezzik make a really good case for USC in this game, and the game clicked down to 4.5. It does seem a little low, though. If 4.5, if you'd been waiting and you were kind of on the fence, I certainly, now that it's gone down to 4.5, I would lean towards playing LSU more so than I would be taking 4.5 with USC.
We asked you about some of the bigger games, but there is often, Bear, as you know, value off the beaten path. Mm-hmm. Rather than just play roulette and ask you about another random game, why don't you take us to a game that you know you're going to have action on this weekend?
Yeah, I laid 10 with Rice against Houston State. Rice is a team I actually have tickets on them to win the AAC this year. I think Mike Bloomgren has been afforded a lot of time by the administration there, and he's kind of built this program up. They got a bunch of pieces back on the offensive side of the ball, and they bring in E.J. Warner, Kurt Warner's son, who was at Temple last year, to kind of solidify and elevate that quarterback position. I think Rice is going to score a bunch of points this year, and they take on a Sam Houston team that the transition to the FBS didn't necessarily go great last year. They're a little bit disappointing, so it's probably going to take a little bit of time. So I laid 10 with Rice against Sam Houston State. I took 3 with Miami of Ohio against Northwestern, with Gabbert coming back for Miami of Ohio against a Northwestern team that obviously playing most of their home games on campus, that lakefront makeshift practice field stadium this year, which should be awesome. But Miami of Ohio, a team that won in the MAC last year, they're expected to be a contender in the MAC again this year. The talent gap between Miami of Ohio and Northwestern is not that great. Northwestern really surprised people last year getting to a bowl game and winning a bowl game. We'll see here, laying only a field goal at home. I took the dog with the Red Hawks here.
Chris, what about conference futures? Do you have a favorite or two you'd like to share heading into week one?
Yeah, I mentioned the Rice future, which I played in the AAC. I did take Miami to win the ACC at plus 550 months ago. I think it's down to like 450 now. But I still think after what we saw from Florida State, that's probably worth a play. And again, maybe we could be feeling completely different about this come Saturday night after what Miami does in the Swamp against Florida. But on paper, Miami does have the most talent in that league. And we'll just see if it finally comes to fruition and manifests this year. So I did play the Canes. And in terms of not necessarily a conference bet, but to make the playoff bet, I did play Penn State to make the playoff at minus 142. And I saw a shop offshore that still had right around that price available. If you go back over the course of the playoff, in the last 10 years, like 8 times Penn State would have made the playoff. So there's really not a team out there that the playoff expansion and the conference realignment really benefited more than the Nittany Lions. I'm not necessarily sold. Drew Aller is a perfect fit for Andy Koltunecki's offense, but I think with those running backs, Singleton and Allen, the offensive line should be good. They were the best defense in the country last year. And now you bring in Tom Allen, who was familiar with that league, familiar with that team, to be the defensive coordinator. You don't play Michigan this year. You do have Ohio State at home. We would not would be very disappointed if we were not looking at a Penn State team that was 10-2 and ranked ninth at the end of the year and on their way to the college football playoff.
The Bear, Chris Felica, with us this week on BetQL Daily, who will be a regular contributor. Another friend of the show, Kelly in Vegas, who excels at picking college football underdogs. Here she is on Miami against Florida. Listen up.
I will say, living in the area, my dad lives just outside of Gainesville, you hear a lot of rumblings. And I was really high a couple of years ago on Anthony Richardson because I got to watch him actually play, even though he kind of inherited a broken Billy Napier, you know, esque type of team where half of the people had transferred away. And, you know, it was just a really weird scenario. Last year, I bet on Florida twice, both as outright underdog winners. They beat Tennessee for me. They ruined my birthday because they could not get the job done against FSU. But I am still high on this team as a home underdog. Listen, the Swamp is one of the worst places I've ever been to see a college football game. It is hotter than the surface of the sun. And of course, the kids from Miami, it's not gonna affect them as much, but I have never wanted to die so bad at a game before in my life. Like, I was like, is this the end of it for me? All jokes aside, I looked at this at this point, is 2.5 even worth betting it? I mean, sure, we can argue about perspective point values, but I don't think so. I think either you play Florida on the money line or you leave it alone. I mentioned the negativity surrounding around Billy Napier, everybody talking about how hot his seat is. But do we all forget what Mario Cristobal does? He beats himself over and over and over again. I think Graham Mertz got a lot of grief last year coming in from Wisconsin. Now this is his second year running the offense in the Swamp. Night game? Ooh, I actually would beg to argue that maybe the wrong team was favored all along.
Oh, Sam, wow. She's gotten you in week one of the show.
Shots fired.
Defense optional, I'm expecting, again this year. USC, LSU. What's your angle, side or total?
Man, defense is always optional from the former Pac-12 teams, right? We're going to see how this one plays out. I'd like to think Lincoln Riley maybe has fixed some of those woes. I'm just not in love with Brian Kelly or what he's done with LSU. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is now with the Commanders. We'll see how that plays out for him on Sundays. But everybody's overhyping this Caleb Williams loss to the Bears. This is Lincoln Riley, quarterback you. You think he doesn't have six guys waiting in the wings? He has done a tremendous job. Straight up, 38-4 in the first six games of the season. He's 12-0. With USC here. And I think that that is something that is the reason why I've had this game circled for over a month now. Catching 4.5 on a neutral field, Las Vegas. Yes, there's going to be a ton of LSU fans there, but there is going to be so many people that travel from Southern California to see this. Again, I know a lot of people are looking at this USC defense thinking they don't play any, but I'm expecting some big regression from LSU. I'm not buying the hype in Baton Rouge. I think they lose this one outright.
I have to move this to the NFL, and that's a perfect transition because you brought up Caleb Williams. I am so close to taking out Chicago in Survivor Week 1. I know the Bears are favored. I know you're not supposed to take dogs in Survivor. But damn it, Tennessee could very easily beat Chicago. And I'll tell you what, 70% of the pool is going to be on Cincinnati against New England. Obviously, they probably beat New England. But I'm avoiding that. And probably going to roll myself into a Tennessee Week 1 Survivor bet. It's bold. It might lose. But you got to be bold, right, Kel?
I think you have to be bold. I don't know if you have to be that bold, Sammy. I took the +5. I did some videos for Splash this summer. I said, give me the 5 with the Titans. I love the Titans in this spot. I have the Bears under 8.5 wins. But I'm not that bold to take them for Survivor. I will say this. I saw your tweet the other day about the percentage of the pool being on the Bengals. Of course they will be. Bengals are, what, 9.5, probably even maybe going to hit 10 before next Sunday. So I have 6, I believe, in the big NFL pool, and then I have a few in the Splash pool, and then I have 5 with our good friend John Murray in the Splash pool. I got to go a couple Bengals, right? I mean, you have to go a couple Bengals. Otherwise, you got to use them against Vegas, or you got to use them against my lowly Denver Broncos. And we don't know if Joe Burrow is going to be healthy enough to last the season. That's my biggest concern. You get a franchise quarterback knocked out this early in the year, and you may be wishing you played the Bengals Week 1, even if they made you sweat.
Love it. Love it. The Survivor talk. And maybe I agree on the Titans, guys. We'll get to that one a little bit. One more visit with Jim Miller. Some more Survivor in this wild rookie of the year race in baseball involving Paul Skeens. Follow me on X at Joe Ostrowski, at Joe Ostrowski. This is Early Odds on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
As a Ford owner, there are lots of choices of where to get your vehicle serviced. You could choose to go to their place, the local dealership, your place, home, apartment, or condo, your workplace, even your happy place, like your cottage on the lake. Go to your Ford dealer or choose Ford Pickup and Delivery to have your vehicle picked up, serviced, and brought right back. Or choose mobile service, where a technician will come to you and do routine maintenance right on the spot. Both are complimentary and depend on your location. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit FordService.com for important details and limitations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369 or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Did I hear you're shopping for a car? Because I've been at it for ages. Ugh, such a time suck, right?
Not really. I bought it on Carvana. Super convenient.
Oh, then comes all the financing, research. Am I right?
Well, you can, but I got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, but then all the number crunching and terms, right?
Nope. I saw real numbers as I shopped, found my dream car, and got it in a couple of days.
Wait, like you already have it?
Yep.
Oh.
Go to Carvana.com to finance your car the convenient way.
Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Welcome back here. Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score, and a weekly contributor here on Early Odds all 5 years, our buddy Jim Miller from Hawthorne Racecourse. Jim, it's funny. We were just chatting offline about how we've been doing this every single week, year round, having a lot of fun, having all sorts of topics. But the show has also changed so much. You know, you think of 5 full years and we had legalization after COVID, and now it's just a whirlwind, all the betting markets that are available. It's funny. It's come full circle because on my BetQL Daily show, my co-host is Sam Panionovic, who I was doing a podcast with 8 years ago, and he was at a place where he couldn't even say point spreads on the air or he was going to get called into the teacher's office.
Think about how things have changed with this, Joe. We were talking about sports books just opening in some locations in Illinois the week before the pandemic hit us. We were talking about coming out of the pandemic. You were placing the first wager with PointsBet. And at that point, we were talking about the White Sox being good. You think about how everything's changed, how it's just started out in the progression, not only when you were just talking about maybe sides here and there, maybe looking at a run total here and there, or something along those lines. We've come to the point now where it's season awards, what country is going to win the most gold medals? Who's going to have how many corner kicks in a game? It's just been such a progression. But I can tell you this, I think it's been great for sports radio, too, because it opens up so many more topics and so many more different aspects and so many different ways to look at the game. It's been an absolute blast to do it. And I think things are only kind of continuing to go in just this expanded sports wagering realm and what it really adds to every single sporting event out there.
And if you missed the news at the top of the show, this is going to be my last early odds. I'm not going anywhere as far as my contributions for Odyssey and 670 The Score, my weekly segments here. And I have BetQL Daily 5 times a week. And during the football season, I'm going to have BetMGM Game Day Sunday mornings, which is also aired right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. But we're going to cut back a little bit. I'll have an announcement coming up before the hour wraps on who's going to take over for Early Odds. So Early Odds will still be here 8 to 9 every Saturday, just not going to be myself and weekly contributor Jim Miller here. Jim, we're going to get to Survivor. We've got to get to Survivor. Yeah. But Major League Baseball futures, want to get your temperature on this. One last look at the awards markets. I don't know that there's going to be a ton of excitement, but there is one award I'm intrigued by. As far as MVP, it's going to be Judge and Ohtani. Judge is minus 5,000, Ohtani minus 1,600. Cy Young, the way Burns has fallen off on the American League side, it looks like it's all Scooble. That's what the numbers say at minus 2,300. National League side could be closer. Most likely it's going to be Chris Sale. He's a minus 500 favorite. What I find really interesting, though, is the NL Rookie of the Year race, and it looked like it was done for so long with Skeens. That's why I hesitate a little bit and say, hey, it looks like this is done, because Skeens just a few weeks ago was the minus 5,000 favorite to be the NL Rookie of the Year, and Jackson Merrill does some amazing things, and now all of a sudden Skeens isn't the favorite anymore. It's wild that in the same season where Skeens was starting at the All-Star game, he's been, if not the number one story, one of the top stories all season long, he's now the second favorite for the NL Rookie of the Year. I refuse to believe that Skeens is not winning this award unless we get word that he's getting shut down.
And even if he does, can't he still win the award? And this is coming from a guy who was a believer that Shota Imanaga still should have been even given consideration, and he's at 200-1 right now.
I mean, Merrill has done some amazing things, and maybe this is when the market completely flips, even though we really were here a week or so ago, but I know we have our ideas of what's going to happen, and we're swayed by what we see last. Like, that is more impactful, what happens in the second half as opposed to the first half of the season. But if he gets all of his work in, if he looks good in his last few starts, I still believe when those voters have to decide on one, that it's going to be Skeens. The market is guessing. This is voted on by humans. So I'm still saying Skeens. I could be proven completely wrong, but I'm still saying Skeens, and I hope he gets better odds.
And I think you're right. You might get better odds. Like I said, it goes start to start with him. Just for the shift, because, oh my gosh, the Cubs scored two runs off of him early. Really? Is it that crazy that that's what we're looking at in markets right now? And you're right. I mean, you and I have talked for weeks about the Padres and about the move they've made and the push they've made to get into the playoffs. Jackson Merrill's been a big factor for that. But I'm with you. And I have to say, because I have money on Shota Imanaga, who's been a model of consistency all season long. But it is. It's the new shiny thing in front of you right now. That's who everybody wants to play. And I think that's really kind of the route it's going to end up.
MLB.com posted another one of their Rookie of the Year straw polls with their writers, some of them voters for this award. Now, these votes were taken about a week ago because it was published earlier this week on the website. Skeens had more first place votes than Merrill. I think that is worth mentioning. And if you look over on the American League side, Jim, the odds say it's Couser. Couser is minus 650 of Baltimore. He had the most first place votes in this poll. However, Luis Gil was second, only a couple of first place votes. He's out of it the way that he's fallen off. Yep. But Mason Miller was getting some buzz. Abreu was kind of in this conversation. And if you look at his numbers, they've been comparable to Couser. Those names are like 50 for Miller, 40 for Abreu, some of those shorter, depending on the site that you look at. I'm not sure that that one is 100% Couser, like these heavy odds would be suggesting.
Well, how about the action to Austin Wells recently, too? I mean, that's something he has to look to as well. Cole Keith has really can't even come on for Detroit. I think the thing that everybody in the American League should be really scared about, though, is all these guys at the top of this category are all in the American League East. If you're in any other division, you're a team, you got to wonder what's going on with my minor league system when you're looking at these teams that are contenders, are going to be playoff contenders each and every year, and they just keep bringing rookie after rookie after rookie. And we're not even mentioning Jackson Holliday, and he's really come back and been much better since his return. That's the thing that's a little bit interesting to me. But I agree with you. I do not think this category is over by any means. You can find some value just because of the action to Kowser right now.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score. We've got contributor Jim Miller here of Hawthorne Racecourse. All right, Jim, we love talking about Survivor over the last 5 years on this show. Let's go big picture, because the first thing that everybody's going to go to when it comes to week one, they're probably going to take the Bengals over the Patriots. A massive favorite. Last I checked, that thing was at 9 points. The only one north of a touchdown in week number one. But are there any rules that you stand by, just to remind our early odds audience?
If you're in a survivor pool, try to get multiple entries. And if you can get multiple entries, it gives you the ability to spread. Because you look at some of these major pools too, it comes down to a winner take all or a split at the end. So, of course, you need to be able to survive. But how often, Joe, have we seen time and again that it's the most selected team, the third most selected team, and the fourth most selected team that all of a sudden in a week all lose and it completely blows up that pool? Yep. So unless you have no other option, try to stay away from those teams that look like they're just going to be that most likely winner that week, because that's your chance to really make that move. That's your chance to kind of fade everybody else, blow up the pool, and try to go out there and really make your money. You also do have to look later in the season to make sure that you do have the selections, but really it's come down to the point where you are surviving advanced early on, but at the same time, try to avoid those teams that can knock out 60% of the pool with one bad day.
And this is not Ryan Pace stuff. This is not us trying to be the smartest guy in the room and tell you that we know more and the Patriots are going to win. No, we understand the most likely scenario is that the Bengals beat the Patriots. But if you go elsewhere and you win, and they win too, guess what? You're going to have the Bengals, a team that I believe is going to be one of the best in the NFL this season, on a week when almost nobody else has them, because they already used them in week number one. That's the kind of stuff that you need to think about when you're trying to beat thousands of people to win thousands of dollars.
And it's something that when you're carrying on throughout the course of the season, look at matchups. Look at divisional matchups. You may like a team in a divisional matchup early in the season. Yeah, they may be favored, but if they're on the road in that matchup and they're going to come back and meet up at home 6, 7, 8 weeks down the line, you have to look at that. The other thing, Joe, that we really have to talk about and focus on now is because of the complexion of the NFL schedule, make sure you know the rules of your survivor pool. Make sure you're sitting there and you're not getting to Thanksgiving Day, and all of a sudden you have limited or no options on Thanksgiving Day, and you have to make a selection that day. Remember last year, we had Christmas Eve games. We had Christmas Day games. Some pools, you had to make selections on multiple days. So please make sure you know your rules before you jump into any of these survivor pools.
Do you have a double pick week? What weeks are those double pick weeks? Are there any obvious options for that week? And maybe that's the only option that you really feel comfortable with. You've got to know that. I'm glad you brought up the divisional matchups. That is one of my stayaways. I try to stay away from divisional matchups. I try to stay away from Thursday night football. There's a whole lot of different rules that you can come up with, but it's difficult when your options start to become limited, because once you use a team, you cannot use them again for the rest of the year. NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Caleb Williams is still the favorite. I see BetMGM posting a plus 130. That's around the price he is everywhere, and he's been all offseason. The second favorite, Jaden Daniels. You can still find a 6-1 out there. Then we get to Marvin Harrison, and Bo Nix is the third rookie starter that's going to be starting in week number one. Other names like Neighbors and May, Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman. What do the people need to know about this award?
Well, here's the one thing. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Joe, is so much different from MVP, because MVP has become a quarterback-driven award. Offensive Rookie of the Year, not necessarily so. We've seen receivers win this award, and we've seen them win this award in recent years. At the same time, if you're going going to look at a quarterback, I think you can only really look to the three guys that are starting week one and see if any of them are going to go there and take off. So it's Caleb Williams, it's Jaden Daniels, it's Bo Nix. I don't think you look to any of the other quarterbacks, because odds are if they're getting in there, it's probably not till week four or week five. And when you look at these three other guys, if they're going to be out there and they're going to stay healthy, they're starting all season, you're just not going to be able to compare to those numbers. On the receiver end, it's probably Marvin Harrison Jr., but Worthy might be worth the look. He's going to see a lot of action. He's going to see a lot of balls thrown his way, and it's going to be a lot of deep balls. So that's one other guy that you may want to focus on the receiver end, because it's not necessarily a requirement that a quarterback has to win this award.
If Neighbors was in Arizona, in Kansas City, or even in Buffalo like Keon Coleman is, I would love that bet, and the odds would be quite different, wouldn't they?
And that's the thing, and it's matchups. It's who you have. It's who signed for your team. It's, is your team going to be good? You have to look at things along those lines. When Ja'Marr Chase had his big year and won Rookie of the Year, the Bengals were good, and they were a team that was on the up and up moving forwardly there. You have to keep an eye on all of those aspects as well, because you need to find a guy that also, when you look at some of these that are voted on awards, you have to find guys that are playing spotlight games, the standalone game, Sunday night football, Monday night football, the 3 o'clock game on a Sunday afternoon, where you can get more eyes on the screens and more eyes on some of these players as well.
Not saying he's going to win, but the upside that Jaden Daniels has and the gap that we have between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels with the odds. And I think Dan Quinn is going to get them on the right path. I don't know that they're going to win a ton of games, but man, Jaden Daniels, there's a lot of value there at 6-1 compared to Caleb Williams, which is just even money at this point. All right, Jim, let's wrap with the horses for this weekend. What you got?
And we had a good weekend last weekend. We had two winners and a third place finisher made some money. So for the last time here, Joe, three horses to bet across the board at Saratoga on Saturday. Race 10, bet the 3, Tricky Temper across the board. Race 11, bet the 11, Quiet Side across the board. And then race 12, bet the 1, Warlike Goddess across the board. All stakes races, all horses that can provide a nice little payout.
Jim, let me tell you, over the last 5 years, I always appreciate that you've made yourself available every single week for this show. I've learned a ton about coaching baseball from you and also pitching. A lot of people don't know that once upon a time you were drafted by the Milwaukee Brewers, and you've got your team as well that your son plays on. So really appreciate all the help.
It's been so much fun, Joe. And the great thing about it, and now I get to watch your kiddos go ahead and progress through their baseball careers too. So something that I'm really looking forward to.
Thanks, Jim.
You got it, Joe. Good luck.
Jim's the best. I'll introduce you to the new host of Early Odds starting next Saturday. You've got Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Back here on Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, it's Joe Ostrowski. For the last time, I think, maybe, we'll see. Been here, I said 5 years earlier with Jim. It's actually almost six through football season. It would be six full years. I'm not leaving the company or anything. You'll still hear me right here on 670 The Score. I'm on with Bernstein and Holmes every Friday, Monday through Friday. I've got BetQL Daily, 8 to 11 a.m. with my buddy Sam Panionovich. First week this week, it was phenomenal. It's only going to get better. And starting next weekend with week one of the NFL season, we've got BetMGM Game Day, 7 to 10 a.m. The first 2 hours heading into Bears pregame is going to air right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, doing that with Jason Lockefour and Kate Constable. Really looking forward to that. So something had to give with seven shows per week. I tried it last year. It just wasn't manageable. So Early Odds is going to remain on The Score. I'm just not going to be hosting it. Maybe he'll ask me to pop on once in a great while, but I'm going to hand it off to the new host of Early Odds moving forward. And his name is Jay Kassan. Maybe you've heard him in the past filling in for me, especially during those dreaded summer months. I do appreciate that, Jake. Jake, welcome into Early Odds. It's all yours, man.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Surely there are some people throwing their headphones or turning off their radios right now in disgust after they heard me talk about NL Rookie of the Year and AL Rookie of the Year for, you know, about a month straight while you were on vacation. But listen, that's what we do around here. And I promise everybody it's not going to be just baseball. Obviously, we got football coming up and we're going to have basketball and college basketball and football going on right after that and around that too. So yeah, I'm excited. We're going to hit everything. Going to have some guests on still. Maybe once every like 6 months, I'll ask you to come on. I feel like that'll be in your wheelhouse.
Six months? So yeah, I get one hit this football season.
I don't want to burn you out. You got six shows a week to do.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Anytime you ask, I'm sure I'll be able to make it. You know, I'm expecting a lot of what we have been doing anyways over the last number of years. I'm sure you'll check in with Horvy once in a while. We'll get a softball update from Kevin Lapka. We'll make sure to shoehorn some Illini in. Like, I know all this is coming, right? You'll call up Ronji for some Cardinals chatter. No?
Yeah, I mean, well, you'll get some voices you've heard with me before. Ronji's a good one. Hadn't thought that far ahead. Yeah, but, you know, once college basketball picks up, you'll hear Isaac Trotter again. Reed Wallach and Horvy will be in the mix for college football. I'll have a slew of NFL people around. We'll get the whole cast in crud. It won't just be me for an hour every Saturday. We'll get some other voices mixed in to break it up a little bit. But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully we win some money.
Let me get your initial thoughts on Bears-Titans. I'm sure you're going to have a full breakdown next Saturday morning, but initial thoughts on this throughout the preseason with the Bears hype. I feel like the line moves every time Caleb Williams throws a touchdown in the preseason. Last I checked, it bumped up to 4.5. Yeah, I took a stance on Tennessee. I've had the stance on Tennessee for a while. I was there at 3.5 and 4. And at 4.5, of course, you feel a little bit better. Where are you on this game? Will you be betting it?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be betting this game, of course. I mean, how could you not week one of the NFL season, especially being here in Chicago with all the hype? But I'm with you. I mean, this line is getting, I mean, the 4.5 is juice now, too. I mean, we might see 5, nuts. I feel like, give this another week. And if we're going to see 5, maybe even 5.5, I'm going to have to take a stance on the Titans as well, because sometimes you got to bet with your brain and not your heart. Arguably, all the time, you got to bet with your brain and not your heart. And while, yeah, I hope the Bears win, and I think they'll have a good shot to win, I think if you're going to give me that many points with the Titans and in year two of Will Levis with a new head coach, I think I'm going to have to take those points. I'll definitely be looking at some props, though. I mean, it'll be fun to look at what the receiving props are going to be. I think that's where everyone else is going to go to. What's the line going to be on DJ Moore, on Keenan Allen, on Roma Dunze? Mm-hmm. And I think those will be very interesting. Maybe a longest completed pass or longest reception by one of those guys, too. I think after that game a couple weeks ago with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, I'm definitely interested in the longest reception and the receiving yards props for him, especially. But it's going to be interesting. I'm always interested personally in a Cole Kmet touchdown anytime, just because he seems like a magnet anytime you're inside, what, 20 yards, 15 yards. But I think if we get to 5, 5.5, it's going to have to be the Titans for me. But we'll sprinkle in some props too, for sure, because I think there's going to be a lot of angles there.
On the props front, people might be thinking, well, we don't really know. We don't know who Caleb's guy is going to be. Yeah, you're right. But that also gives you a betting opportunity. If you have a strong opinion on that, you jump ahead of it if you bet it in the early weeks before they make those quick adjustments. So you also have that advantage if you end up having a strong opinion with the props. The props are going to be fun again. It's not just, oh, I guess I'll take Justin Fields. Like, there's so many different ways to go about it. You know, Swift as well. Maybe you think they're going to use other backs in the backfield. In the past, they've always rotated backs. So, and all the receivers, you mentioned Kmet. Yeah, there are a lot of different ways to bet it. It's not us being haters at all. Jake has a Bears podcast with Kevin Lapka. You've probably heard his name on the airwaves from some of the shows, but that's not what it is. We're talking about the number. We're not saying that the Bears are going to lose. We're just saying rookie quarterback making his NFL debut, going up against a quarterback in year number two, a quarterback in Tennessee that now is going to have some blocking for him. They're changing things up, how they do things offensively in Tennessee. It's going to be a different look. It's not going to be ground and pound. It's going to be much more of an aerial attack, favored by more than a field goal in your first game. That's a lot. Maybe they end up covering it, but that's kind of how we're looking at that. You mentioned you're a big baseball guy. There are two division races. Every day you got to take a look. Some days it's tied. Some days we have a one game lead. Let's start close to home. American League Central. You were on the air pounding the table in the winter months for the Kansas City Royals. They fought, they fought, they fought. They finally caught Cleveland earlier this week. What do you think happens in the end? Kind of pushing your bet to the side for a moment.
I'll break it down this way. I made the bet in the first place because I liked what the Royals had done over the offseason, the pitching that they added, Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha. And at the time, you see those names and you're like, okay, these are just guys and they're fine. But the Kansas City Royals have turned them into very viable starting pitchers. And I liked the ascent of Bobby Witt Jr. Did I think he was going to probably have the greatest season by a shortstop of all time? No, I didn't think that was going to happen, but I liked what their foundation was. And so I thought the number was wrong. I placed the bet, and and it's aged obviously pretty well to this point. This is still value on the Royals at like 2-1 out there, because I look at Cleveland and I just don't see it. I look at their starting rotation and it's just a bunch of guys who maybe could be good going forward, but I just, you know, Tanner Bibee is a guy who has high upside. Gavin Williams is a guy with some upside, but they're also prone to mistakes. And you saw it in the series with Kansas City that just happened earlier in the week, where Gavin Williams got blown up a little bit by Kansas City. And the biggest strength by Cleveland is their bullpen. You get through six innings and you're getting shut down, with, especially at the end with Hunter Gaddis and Emmanuel Clase in the seventh and eighth innings. But I still really like how this Kansas City team is built. I still really like their star power, especially with Bobby Witt Jr. I think Vinny Pascantino is a future all-star. So I think this is going to be close. I think this is very much going to be a rock fight all the way through. They have another series against each other later in the year, so I'll be interested in that. But I think, honestly, Joe, that the bet is still Kansas City right now. I still think there's value. I think this division right now with Kansas City, you know, still hanging around within a game or two, I still think that it should be about a pick, because Kansas City, they just keep playing well. They just keep hanging on. And Cleveland, I just don't think is built to withstand the push that Kansas City is making.
And the other really close division, which has been tight just about all season, American League East, Yankees, Orioles. How can you not be a fan of the Orioles, as long as you're not a Bronx Bombers guy? The youth that they have there, talented players, new guys coming up constantly, and just stepping up and just being terrific. They seem to be hitting on everybody. Second to last series of the year, they're going to play again for three games. Are the Orioles going to pull it out?
Honestly, I don't know. This Orioles team, just they can't keep a rotation healthy. Like, that's the, every time they get somebody back, somebody else goes down. Kyle Bradish made about three starts. Grayson Rodriguez has been on and off the injured list. Corbin Burns now is starting to slip. A couple days ago in his start against the Dodgers, he got touched up too. So I think that things in Baltimore are a little wobbly right now. But here's the good news. The Yankees also don't really have a great pitching staff, especially in the rotation. Carlos Rodon could blow up or throw a gem every other start. Nestor Cortez can't pitch away from Yankee Stadium. Gerrit Cole does not look like Gerrit Cole, but they score a million runs because of Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. But if you pitch around those guys, there's not a whole lot going on. So I think because of Baltimore's depth in the lineup, they'll have a puncher's chance here. And I think it's just going to be back and forth all year long the rest of the way. I think Baltimore can pull it off, but they got to get some of these starting pitchers healthy. If that's not the case, then I think the Yankees should be able to pull this out.
And there's nothing else to address here in these races. It's going to be too little too late for the Cubs. One of those teams in the NL West, can they catch the Dodgers?
I'm really bullish on the Diamondbacks. I have been all year long. I think they're going to win the World Series, to be perfectly honest with you.
Whoa.
They're only a couple games back. They're still within shouting distance of the Dodgers. And as this Diamondbacks team has gotten healthier, and once they get Christian Walker back, that'll be even more so. I think this Diamondbacks team, because they're playing the Dodgers this weekend. They're playing them right now in a series. And that's the last one. That's the last time they'll see each other. But a four-game series, I think the Diamondbacks could make this an even tighter race. Josh Bell has been very good for them since they acquired him from Miami. Corbin Carroll remembered that he's Corbin Carroll. He's hit about a billion home runs in the second half. And really the biggest strength of the Diamondbacks is that pitching staff. Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Jordan Montgomery's in the bullpen now, but they can utilize him in a way that makes him a weapon. Eduardo Rodriguez has been very solid. Ryan Nelson is starting to realize his potential. He's kind of reminding me of Brandon Faught from last year, when Brandon Faught figured it out at the end of the year and then was a menace in the postseason. Ryan Nelson is giving me very much images and hints of that. So I think this Diamondbacks team is still very, very dangerous, and I think they're nothing to mess with. You know, they're still 10-1 to win that division. I think there's a lot of value there, because the Dodgers, they don't have a rotation right now. Walker Buehler's up at the podium crying that this is not how you want to enter free agency. Bobby Miller's arm is hanging on by a paperclip at this point. Clayton Kershaw, can you really count on him to stay healthy the whole rest of the year, and especially in the postseason? And after that, it's kind of like, all right, let's pull some guys off the street. So I think the Dodgers are still very vulnerable here.
Good stuff. That's Jake Hassan. Starting next Saturday, your new host for Early Odds. So Early Odds is going to stay right here, same time slot, Saturday mornings, 8 to 9 a.m. Jake, thank you so much. Best of luck moving forward with the show, and have a great weekend, all right?
Thanks, Joe. You too. I'll see everybody next week for the new version of Early Odds.
I work with Jake all week, so I'm pretty sure it will be a similar format with a lot of the same familiar voices you've been getting used to and getting you ready for college football Saturdays and NFL Sundays. A fun six-year ride it's been with you guys here on Saturday mornings. Thanks for giving me your time while you're grabbing donuts, getting that weekend workout in, shuffling the kids off to soccer, baseball, whatever you were doing. We saw the sports betting wave coming well before legalization, so that's why we started this show. Thank you, Mitch Rosen. Listen and or watch BetQL Daily, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. and starting next Sunday, BetMGM Game Day, 7 to 10 a.m. right here on The Score. The when and where of my on-air schedule is always on my Twitter / X feed, at Joe Ostrowski, at Joe Ostrowski. Preset 105.9 FM HD2, 105.9 FM HD2. That's the BetQL network. You can also find it on the Odyssey app, Twitch, and the podcatcher of your choice. Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw is next. Cash those tickets and always keep it locked right here on 670 The Score.
Okay, you can do this.
I know. Carvana makes it so convenient to sell your car. It's just hard to let go. My car and I have been through so much together.
But look, you already have a great offer from Carvana. That was fast.
Well, I know my license plate and VIN by heart, and those questions were easy.
You're almost there. Now to just accept the offer and schedule a pickup or drop-off.
How'd you do it? How are you so strong in letting go of your car?
Well, I already made up my mind, and Carvana's so easy.
Yeah, true. And sold.
Go to Carvana.com to sell your car the convenient way.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369 or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.
As a Ford owner, there are lots of choices of where to get your vehicle serviced. You could choose to go to their place, the local dealership, your place, home, apartment, or condo, your workplace, even your happy place, like your cottage on the lake. Go to your Ford dealer or choose Ford Pickup and Delivery to have your vehicle picked up, serviced, and brought right back. Or choose mobile service, where a technician will come to you and do routine maintenance right on the spot. Both are complimentary and depend on your location. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit FordService.com for important details and limitations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.